You'll find our text in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Everyone knows the story of Noah and the ark. It's a great favourite of children. Our own granddaughter has a little model of the ark with a Noah and the various animals in it with which she plays. But the Bible is not a book of fairy tales. It's not there to entertain. It's God's word. It's a revelation to man. It's calling for a response from us. God speaks to us through his word, and he's calling to you and me today through the Bible, just as clearly as he did to Noah all these years ago. Our day is very like the day in which Noah lived. There's violence, there's wars, there's terrorism, there's brutality, there's sexual immorality and every kind of fornication and adultery and homosexuality and all the rest of it. For many people, sex is their god. It's more important to them than anything else. I was quite saddened to read with regard to Ruth Davidson, who's head of the Tory party in Scotland, that she was stating that her lesbianism is more important to her than her Tory politics. No doubt more important to her than anything else. Every kind of immorality is practiced by our land today. And there's a blasphemous rejection of God. Surely as a nation, we're ripe for God's judgment. God hates sin. And God is on the throne. God is ruling. God is judging. And God is already punishing men and women. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is, present tense, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Why are there disasters? Why are there tragedies? Why is there sickness? Why is there death? It's God's judgment. God corrects his own people. He lovingly disciplines them. It's painful for them, for us, but it's for our good. But with regard to the ungodly, to the unbeliever, God is the God of judgment, the God of punishment. And there's a sense in which even hell begins already in this world. Noah and his family were saved, and the whole generation amongst which he lived was destroyed. millions and millions of people. All the animals, birds, creeping things, reptiles, destroyed. That's God. God hasn't changed. The story of Noah is a frightening story. It's amazing how it's so popular with children. There's a reality, though, about it. God hates sin. God punishes sin. And the sinner will certainly suffer the wrath of God. Noah had faith in God and he escaped. And so the story of Noah is calling to you and me and saying to us, do you have faith in God? Without faith in God, without trusting in Christ, how can we escape from the wrath which is to come? So first of all, tonight we have here a warning. It's amazing how the whole story of Jonah, of Noah, can be told in just one sentence. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There was increasing wickedness in the world. Every imagination of man's heart was evil continually. We read there together in Genesis chapter 6 about the wickedness that was going on. We were told there about the sons of God. That's the church people. The sons of Seth. You remember that there were two families. The family of Seth and the family of Cain. Cain's family were wicked. They went away from God. Cain was a murderer. He rejected God and his gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went away and he built a city for himself and his family, away from the presence of God. He was a rebel. He was a sinner. But then there was the family of Seth. And to begin with, they were godly, and many godly people among them, like Enoch and Methuselah. But sadly, even amongst the sons of God, amongst the church people, there was a decline, a turning away, a compromising. Some people think that when it says the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair and took to them all whom they would, that it's referring to angels. But that's crazy. Can't be angels. Angels don't have bodies. With the angels, there's neither marriage nor giving in marriage. Jesus told us that. The angels are spirits. The devils are spirits. It cannot be angelic beings. It's all to do with men. And it's a judgment upon mankind, what happened in the days of Noah. So the sons of God are those who are called the church. And just like in our own day, the church is corrupt. The church today is just full of corruption. It's turned away so far from God's word. It doesn't take the Bible seriously anymore. There's all kinds of immorality practiced in the church, and it's accepted. It's regarded as fine. People have left the Bible and followed their own traditions. People have made up with their own imagination, their own religion. That's what you have with the liberalism and the Church of Scotland and the Scottish Episcopal Church, the Church of England, the Methodist Church, with all these homosexual ministers and homosexual marriage and so on, and all that is so acceptable. And yet the Bible calls it an abomination to the Lord. The churches have become corrupt because they're no longer following the scriptures. They think they're wiser than God. We've developed beyond these things. And so it is, just as it was in the days of Noah. The so-called sons of God, the church people, and they're mingling with the world, with the ungodly, and they're compromising. And what do you get? You get violence and immorality and lust. In Genesis, we're told that there were giants in the earth. Well, the word giant doesn't mean what we think of as giant. It means thugs, vandals, horrible people. People that were going round mugging other people. People that were going round raping, going round doing violence to others. That was what comes of it. It's amazing how quickly things deteriorate. One sin leads to another. And there's this increasing development of immorality and violence. And the situation became so bad that God determined to destroy the world. God, we read, repented that he had made man upon the earth. Now there's a sense, of course, in which God repents of nothing, because God has planned everything. So what does it mean when it says God repented? It's just using human language to see, to show to us just how angry God was. The wrath of God against the wickedness that was going on in the world. The wages of sin is death. You can't sin and get off with it. Sin is punished. Remember that. There's wages paid for sin that is committed. God pays wages. And unless Jesus Christ suffers for your sins, you will suffer for them. God is an active ruler. He's not far away somewhere in the skies, unaware of what's going on or not caring about it. God is here tonight. God is involved in this world. God is the active ruler. He cares about the world. He sees what is going on. And just as in the days of Noah, he punishes. He sees all the sin, every sinful action that men and women commit, that you commit, that I commit. He hears every swear, every lie, every arrogant word. He notices every thought that passes through our hearts. Envy, lust, hatred, idolatry. God's not blind. His eyes run through all the earth. He sees everything that's taking place. And so God determines to destroy the world. It's so rotten. It's so corrupt. It's so like the world of today. God determines to send a flood to kill every man and woman, every animal, every bird, and every reptile. A massive worldwide flood. A flood that will cover the highest mountains so that none will survive. God is angry with the world. And our God, who is a just and holy God, hasn't changed. And he's coming again to punish the world. But the next time it will be with fire. Not with a flood, but with fire. With destruction. With eternal fire. Fire that leads to hell. There's a warning here. Sin is serious. God hates sin. God is going to punish it. Have you taken the warning to heart?
Secondly, we notice fear here. Noah's fear. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Noah took God's threat seriously.
People today fear terrorists. They're afraid of bombs and bullets and of their throats being slit. But do they fear God? Do they fear the Almighty who holds our lives in His hand? The one who brought the flood and destroyed the ancient world, and the God who's going to bring fire and brimstone upon the present world. It must have been awful for those who were living in Grenville Tower. Just imagine what it must have been like if you were near the top of that tower and you became aware of the fire around you and there was no way down. And there you were, sitting in your little flat, waiting to be burned. How awful. Bit by bit, the fire closing in around you, and the fumes and the smoke. Maybe with your children there, and this slow death approaching. What will it be like if you end up in hell? Those in Grenville Tower, there was always the thought, well, maybe I'll be rescued some way. Maybe the fire will stop. But the fire of hell will never stop. Those who perished in Grenville Tower, they suffered for a little time and then they passed away. But those who suffer in hell, there's no passing away. There's no death. There's just pain and suffering forever. The warning of the Bible. The warning of God. Noah was moved with fear. Do you have fear of God and fear of His judgment? And does it move you? Or does it just pass over you as if you were doped or sleeping? The wrath of God. Who can take that in? Who can understand it? God is angry with sinners every day. God's wrath. Noah was moved with fear. Thirdly, notice the faith of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. Noah believed God, believed God's word. Many didn't, just as many don't believe God today. Faith is so important. What is faith? Faith is, as verse 1 of this chapter says, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to hopes, and faith is evidence and proof and assurance to us of things that are yet in the future. So important, it's vital. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Those who believe in Jesus are saved. Those who don't are lost. Without faith, verse 6 says,
It's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You cannot please God without faith. You must trust in him. You must believe in him. You must take God seriously. Otherwise, you cannot please God. You must believe in the goodness and mercy of God. And you must believe that he will reward you if you seek him. It's not a waste of time to seek the Lord. He can be found. And you can know him. And you can have a personal relationship with him. And you can have assurance of your salvation. You can have peace with God. You can be saved. But without fear, it's impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was taken up to heaven without dying because he pleased God. He had faith in God. By faith, verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel realized he was a sinner. And with the gift of faith, he saw that the Son of God had to die on the cross. And he offered a sacrifice and claimed the blood of Jesus Christ for his salvation. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, created from things, not from things which were made, but from the very word of God himself. Faith believes in the Creator God. Verse 2, by it the elders obtained a good report. People long ago, they were received and accepted of God by faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is so important. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God offers us mercy or judgment. Believe and you're saved. If you will not believe, you will be lost. Faith. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, notice the action that followed faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah's faith wasn't a kind of empty faith. So many people say, I have faith, or I believe in God, but it doesn't make any difference to their lives. That's no use. Real faith is a faith which works by love. Real faith is a faith which changes your life, makes you into a new person, makes you live a new life. Here we see Noah's faith leading to him building the ark under God's direction. God told him, you trust in me, well, build an ark and you'll be saved. It was a massive project. It took 120 years. More than the lifetime of any of us here. 120 years to build. It was a boat that had to be large enough to take in two of all the animals and birds and reptiles. It had to have also food for all these animals. And it had to be strong enough to endure oceanic conditions for a year. It was a project impossible for Noah on his own. But God directed him. God helped him. Trusting in God, God helps us. Whatever it is, we can do all things through faith. through my God assisting me, what can I not do? I overleap every wall through God assisting me. And so we see here Noah building this ark. By faith, trusting the word of God, with God's help, he set about building it. Took him all these years, but he kept at it. Many a carpenter helped him to build the ark, and then perished in the flood themselves. Just like many a minister preaches the gospel and ends up in hell. Others are saved through it, but he himself is lost. It's no use. The only way to be saved is the ark. And of course the ark is Jesus Christ. Faith in him. Many say they believe, but what do they do? Faith must involve action if it is real. Faith without works is dead. Here's Noah building the ark. Fifthly, he condemned the world, by the which he condemned the world. Noah's life condemned other people. His responding to God left others without excuse. His boat was a sermon to them. There he was building his boat far away from the oceans. Everyone thought him a clown, but he told them the word of God, but they would not listen. He said, "Come, join me in the ark," but they wouldn't listen. Peter tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, he was preaching the gospel to the people of his day, and the only converts he had were his own family. The only ones saved were himself, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. God could have saved Noah and destroyed the world the very day he gave Noah the warning. But he didn't. God waited for 120 years before he destroyed the world. Why? Because he's long-suffering. He loves to show mercy. He cares for people. He gives them every opportunity to repent. God loves to save. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So friends, 120 years, God's holding back his wrath, the flood of his judgment. And it's all taken for granted. And in the same way, God today is holding back his wrath. He shows his wrath at different times in different ways. We see it in terrible fires, and we see it in bombs and bullets and wars and disasters of different kinds. But it hasn't become a universal fire. Why? Because God's giving you and the people of today the opportunity to repent and to make their peace with him. Noah preached for 120 years. He condemned the world. He condemned the world for their wickedness, their violence, and their lust. He warned them of the wrath of God. He told them to come into the ark and be saved. But they rejected him and his message. And you and I live in a wicked world that is fast hastening to destruction. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." And one day soon, he's going to come. And when he comes, there's no second chance. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. And if we go on living in sin, the judgment is coming. And it's no use pretending you're a Christian if you're not living according to the Word of God. If you're living in lust, if you're living in hatred, if you're living in envy, if you're living in the practice of sin and not repenting of it, be sure of this. Be sure your sin will find you out, and be sure the judgment of God will come upon you. Noah condemned the world. But finally, we notice that he became himself an heir of righteousness. He became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Fascinating to see how in the Old Testament people were saved by faith, just as in the New Testament. This chapter, Hebrews 11, tells us of one person after another who's saved by faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and so on. All saved by faith. Trusting in God, believing His Word, receiving the Savior, depending upon Him, giving their lives to the Lord, and accepting Christ as their Savior. And so it was with Noah. He became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He became an inheritor. He entered the inheritance of faith. And what is the inheritance of faith? It's heaven. Heirs and joint heirs of God, of Christ. Heaven is ours because we are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. That's the way it was in the Old Testament. Justified. Made righteous. Made acceptable with God by faith. And it's vital to be righteous, because very soon you and I are going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And there'll be a separation made between the righteous and the wicked. Come ye blessed, depart ye cursed. Come you who trust in Jesus and are following me. Come into heaven. Depart from me, you who have followed your own lusts and followed the devil and walked in his ways. Depart from me to the lake of fire, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. God's wrath came upon the old world and destroyed it. And God's wrath is going to come upon this world and destroy it too. God saved Noah, and God will save everyone else who comes into the ark, who comes into Jesus Christ, who takes the Lord Jesus as their Savior. In Christ we are saved. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jesus is our ark. Are you in the ark tonight? Are you in Jesus Christ? The Bible is warning us to flee from the wrath to come.
prepare to meet your God. Who can stand in the presence of an angry God? How terrible it was for those people burnt in that tower in London. But how much, 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 much more terrible it will be for you if you end up in hell. And God's saying to you tonight, why should I take you into heaven? Why? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust in Him? Have you taken Him as your Savior? Are you following Him? Or are you living for this world and its pleasures? There's two roads. Jesus spoke of a narrow road to heaven, and few there be that find it. And a broad road to hell, and many are on it. Which road are you on tonight? The broad road or the narrow road? The path to heaven or the path to hell? You can imagine what it was like when the rain began to fall and the waters began to rise. And people realized Noah wasn't kidding. He was telling the truth. You can imagine the crowds running to the ark saying, Noah, Noah, let us in, let us in. And Noah shouting back from inside the ark, too late, too late. God shut the door and I can't open it. One day, the door to heaven will be closed. Maybe that day is today for you. You don't know. That's why it's so important today to make your peace with God. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't leave it and perish. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord, and you will find Him. Go on in your sins, and you will perish. Noah warns you tonight. It won't be rain that will come down from heaven, but it will be fire. What an awful day it will be for those who are cast into that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Make sure you're in Christ. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you have Christ or you will perish. I might never speak to you again. You might never hear me preaching but you're going to meet me again one day. Every one of you will meet me before the throne of God. And you will have to give your account for the fact that you were warned tonight. And if you end up in hell, you can't say, "I wasn't warned." You've been warned. Prepare to meet your God.